Hose, please sit. Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast, and we are dedicating the episode this week to Game of Thrones. As has been tradition since season one, original host Brian Williams returns to lead us through a breakdown of the final season of HBO's cultural phenomena and on the series as a whole. This is our Game of Thrones season 8 and complete series wrap-up. Shall we begin?
Welcome, this is the Hollywood Outsider, and you're listening to our series recap of Game of Thrones, the most in-demand show ever. According to the website Statista.com, Game of Thrones was demanded 632 million times during the first week in May of 2019. And just to give you a little bit of perspective, the second place was SpongeBob SquarePants at 73 million demands.
Yes! So,
yeah. Nothing was even remotely close. My name's Brian Williams, and I'll be leading this small council in a roundtable discussion about the series as a whole, while peppering in some thoughts about Season 8, which just wrapped up. With me are my fellow hoes, Aaron Peterson.
What do we say to the god of 10-episode seasons, Sir Brian of House Williams?
Not today.
Exactly. Not today.
And also with us is John Davenport.
I have nothing nearly as clever to say.
Obviously.
And lastly, but not leastly, is Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
All right. Aaron set the bar a little too high, I guess, with you guys. So how's everybody doing?
Man, I'm like thrones out at this point, honestly. And not in a bad way. Just it's just been a lot. And I'm just tired of the internet, mostly. I'm just going to shut my internet off.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you. Like, I'm really over hearing people complain about Game of Thrones. Like, it's over. Let it be over. Stop yelling about it.
It wasn't what I wanted.
I'm cool with people having the discussion of what they thought could have improved it without shitting on the writers.
No opinions. That's what I want. I don't want your opinion. I just want my opinion. My opinion is what matters. Mine!
Is anybody else super excited to do like a full watch through now that we know exactly how it ends?
I just did it.
No. I know, but continuously, now that we know every detail, watching it from beginning to end.
Yes, once winter comes.
And until now.
Oh, are you kidding me? I just did it with like the final season, and it plays much better, by the way. People that are worried about it, go watch it from start to finish this season. Works great. I firmly believe that. Works great. Minus a couple things.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's one of the things that I really like about it, is that the rewatchability of this show is just off the charts, because all these little tidbits of information that you get by knowing how it ends or what goes on in the later seasons, they're actually being set up as early as season one. So
absolutely.
I've rewatched, let's go around here. Like, I've rewatched every episode at least three times. Am I alone in that, or am I just the crazy one?
Of this season or
this season? Every episode of this season.
Every episode three times at least. Yeah.
Yep.
I would say every episode at least twice, but there's been a couple episodes I've watched like an additional one or two times in case I wanted like more detail. I watch it with closed captioning when I get home or the next morning.
I feel like this is more detail than we asked for.
So sorry.
Right.
Well,
this feels like the George R. R. Martin version of the answer.
I don't need to know how a watch is made. I just want to know what time it is, Amanda.
Right.
And whatever.
And to just follow through with Amanda's succinctness to this is I just hit it and quit it with each episode.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what I like to hear.
I hear you. Now, I like watching it once for the just to, I guess, the emotional factor. Then I'll rewatch it with a little bit more objectivity. And then a third time is kind of maybe just to see some of the little catch some of the little nuance type of things.
Mm-hmm. I like that you watch it with emotion first and then you watch it with logic second.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I like to roll too.
Wow, you're really like an onion.
Layers. So many layers.
I just thought you were making a bald joke or something.
No. Maybe an onion night joke.
I think the bald joke's funnier if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah.
Oh, so, I mean, we kind of touched on already. Are you guys pretty much emotionally exhausted from the show or just the extreme polarizing opinions of the fans?
Well, it's definitely exhausting hearing everybody shit on the entire series because they didn't like the way that the series concluded. Now everything about it is in question and they don't like anything else from the prior seasons, even if before this they were like, this was the best TV show that's ever been created. It's so dramatic now. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I need a nap.
Fans be crazy right now, man. It's just ridiculous. I was like, even, you know, it's not just the internet either. I was like having a conversation with some friends and they were like, no, what really should have happened is when John was coming out of the gates in the north and then the children of the forest should have come out and turn him into a new Night King. Calm the freaking hell down, guys. That's not this. I don't know what show you're watching, but that's not what you were getting.
My favorite has been. And Brian, you'll be with me on this one. All the people that are saying this show, it's all been all about the White Walkers. How did they go out in the third episode and there's three episodes without White Walkers? I'm like,
wait,
I don't
what?
Know without White Walkers because they took out the Night King. And people
I get that. I'm just whying their concept.
Yes, the concept that it was always about the White. What show were you watching,
yeah,
man?
Did you
there wasn't
a
single
seasons?
White Walker at the Red Wedding or Joffrey's Day or wedding or any of the other nonsense. Like all the big shit that happened, there wasn't a Night King handy. So he didn't even show up to like season six. Calm the hell down.
Maybe there was one there when Ned Stark was being beheaded and we just didn't even realize it.
That's who did the beheading.
Yeah, right.
Well, that guy didn't talk either, so it makes sense.
That's true. That's true.
How has the fan, I mean, you know, speaking of the crazy fans and stuff, has it actually affected the way that you guys are watching? Or have watched the season?
No, it hasn't affected how I watch it. I love when people try to shout you down because you enjoy something, so they have to shout at you how you don't get it, you don't get it, you don't get it. It reminds me of another former host. but it's very, very much a matter of I enjoy it. I'm not nitpicking it to death. I feel like some of the holes that people are complaining about, there's validity to them, but not necessarily the heft that they put with him. I don't think the weight is there to a lot of the arguments, except maybe Cersei and Daenerys. Everything else, I can give you an argument back. And a lot of people are saying, well, they didn't answer this, they didn't answer that. And I feel like I'm one of those lost people because I'm like, yes, they did. Here's when they answered it. Just pay attention.
Yeah, you know, to reflect all that, what it's done for me is actually it's made me want to have more in-person conversations about this sort of thing instead of having it be all about text and all about you know words on the monitor in front of me as I'm scrolling through crap. I rather just use this show as a way to have a conversation with more people now because it's. You're playing on an even ground at that point. It's not like the internet where everyone's like, I'm going to yell and say crap and whatever I can feel like saying. No, you can go back to having a respectful conversation in face to face with each other and actually share ideas and have your mind change as well as change others' minds.
Dude, it honestly feels like it's politics at this point. I don't even want to discuss it. It's like seriously so exhausting. If somebody right before I watched the finale, somebody had messaged me and had mentioned like, oh, I got the whole spoiler thing. This is not, you know, blah, blah, blah. They didn't tell me anything. They kept, you know, they were mm-hmm. just saying, you know, I accidentally came across all of the details.
I accidentally stumbled across.
I think it was like Reddit or something.
Yeah, they had to click it.
Yeah. But, well, a lot of people
I accidentally pushed this button that gave me every single bit of information.
Right.
I'm going to share it with you now.
Yeah. No, luckily there was no detail shared with me, but it was just the concept. I said, did you enjoy it? Don't say anything just to, because I had seen a ton of people mm-hmm. at this point already complaining about the finale and it hadn't been released yet. It was still the night before. It was Saturday night. And this person had responded, no, was my initial reaction, but blah, blah, blah. And then after that point, I was like, I don't even care because I don't want any of this to affect my perspective of the show. So I had to literally just cut out some of the conversations because I was like, you know what? I don't even need this. I don't need your negativity.
I've been doing that for months now where I'm just in, you know, where I smell the toxicity of what's going on out there and I just back off.
It's kind of like politics, man.
Well, all these people are pretty uproarious and everything anyway. Is there any kind of validity to it?
I don't want to be the guy to sit there and say that there is no validity to it, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There is no validity to a lot of that they're saying. Part of the problem comes from people have taken so much ownership of this show that they feel like they're in the writer's room and they have a the right to impose their will upon the show, no matter how ridiculous or crazy their thoughts are. And my only example to some of this is like, you know, watching the show, every episode it's like, oh, is that Arya wearing somebody's face? Oh, how about that? Is that Arya wearing the dog face? Is that Arya doing this? Give me Arya wearing a face, goddammit! And it's like people would get upset and tense over this whole process. And it's just calm down. It's not that show.
I love that. It's yes, there's some, I'm going to go the opposite way of John, and not 100% the opposite, but there's some story elements were rushed. Cersei definitely deserved better. I can make that argument all day, easy as pie. Daenerys, I honestly believe, was handled mostly very well once you watch it as a whole. But either, you know, one or two episodes of character moments, or less walking around, less battle in that third episode and more character moments there, and you could have fleshed out enough to where this is a grand slam versus a very good ending. And I do think it was a very good ending. So I've watched it 3 times and I like it better each time I watch it.
Yeah, there's definitely validity to the comments of concern for the story of how things may have been handled and how, specifically for me, it was a rushed last season. It was rushed last season. I mean, do you guys remember how fast they were zooming around everywhere? And we were like, how are you getting around so quick?
But on a rewatch, it's not as bad, though. Right, it really works fine.
It's better than we initially expect, but it is still rushed. And so you could have had some of those fleshed out moments, like Aaron was saying, and it would have been more of what we're used to of Game of Thrones, because we are used to a lot of that meandering of dialogue and character development and seeing the aftermath of how the implications of these big things coming out.
Consequences.
Right. And we didn't get that in the finale episode. So I get the concerns to an extent, but like a petition, you're kind of an asshole. So.
You know, apparently you can drop ship a Tyrion.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I really liked, was it Kit Harington?
Yes.
He said that they can go F themselves. I'm like, that's gonna backfire on him, but I like it. I like his passion. He sounds just like fans, so you can't really complain when he's doing the same damn thing you just did.
That's it. Oh, all right. Well, for a more thorough recap of the season, check out John's outstanding weekly podcast on Patreon, where he kind of discusses each episode as it went by. John, you want to tell them how they can get that? Or
yeah, go ahead. If you are a Patreon member at the $3 tier, you can listen to the Half Hour Power Hour, where we will be covering other shows. But it was a flash of inspiration to just jump in and do Game of Thrones to start off. And we try to have a lot of fun with it. We try to be informative, but we also try to make it light and easy to handle. Again, that's on Patreon.
Yep. Patreon.com/ The Hollywood Outsider. That's patreon.com/ The Hollywood Outsider.
Patreon. Yeah,
this is why I let him do all the
talking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to work in some discussions about season 8 while we talk about the series as a whole. So why don't we just pretty much start here at the beginning? Whether you watched the episode from the jump, from the very first airing, or you were pretty much bullied into it from your friends and family, when was your okay, I'm hooked moment?
You know, I really was kind of pushed into watching the show. A buddy of mine at the time was like, hey, I read these books and you really need to watch this with me. So we'd go over to his house and watch it. And I thought it was cool. It's great. And then they lopped off Sean Bean's head and I couldn't stop.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's pretty much how it worked. Brian, you bribed me. Do you remember that? I don't know if you remember, but you bribed me.
I don't know if I bribed you. I remember betting Scott.
You bribed a lot of people. You basically... You said, you know, watch it, and if you have to buy it, I'll pay you back if you don't like it. That was like your thing. I think you did that with Scott Clark, former host as well.
Must have worked once. I figured, you know, it'll work again.
Well, you get me first, then you got Scott, I think. So it worked. Man. Plus, you know, we have a similar taste, so I think you knew I was going to like it. But yeah. You told me about it several times, and I really didn't get hooked until the Ned moment. And that's kind of... I had a really hard time staying with the show the first season. There was just so much information and so many names, and I don't like medieval politics because it's medieval and it's politics. So there's nothing in there unless Aaron Sorkin's writing it. I really don't have an interest. And then, you know, once that happens, once the head gets lopped off, the main character, who we think is the main character, he's dead. Then I realized that this is a different kind of show. This is not the show I thought it was going to be. And then I went back and rewatched it and realized so many things that I had missed. And I just, like, it was definitely the head getting chopped off. Once that happened, and you even told me, you're like, stay at episode 9. That's back when I would stay till an episode 9. Now episode 3, and I'm out.
Episode 1.5, and you're out. Let's be honest.
Hey, man, I'm at that point. There's enough content. You better sell me.
There's some times where I don't even think you finished the first episode. You're like, 60 minutes? What? I ain't got time for this.
Man, get to the point. I ain't got time.
I honestly don't remember how I got into it. I don't know if I watched it by myself or if I watched it maybe with my mom or one of my friends or something. But I remember that the Ned Stark moment is what sold it for me. I actually had to go on my Facebook and figure out, like, did I start the show at the beginning? Because I thought I did not. But apparently I did. I didn't even realize it until I went to Facebook. So thanks for that, memories. But it was that moment where, like Aaron said, where Ned's head gets chopped off, because I think I tried multiple times to watch some of the episodes, and this is 100% not my show typically.
It's hard to get into.
Real hard to follow. I don't like slow moving things. I don't like things that take forever to build to get somewhere. I'm just like, okay, we've built it. Let's move on now. Let's get to something that's exciting and that's gonna, you know, cultivate something wonderful for me. And I didn't feel like they were ever going to do anything until the moment where they chopped his head off, and I was like, what am I watching? This is so cool. Who's gonna die now? And that's the moment that sold me for it.
What about you, Brian? Because you're the first actual fan that I know of the show. You're literally the first person I can remember even talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was actually hooked probably a few episodes before he died. It probably took about 3 or 4 episodes to figure out who was who, where they were each at, with the landscapes, like you say, all the different names, all the different characters, the places. There's that mysterious, you know, which you never really see again throughout the whole season, but the opening scene where you've got the White Walker and you got the 3 Rangers that are scouting north of the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, so you had all that little mystery, like, how is that going to come back? So yeah, it was probably about the time that the pieces started to kind of come together, and you could kind of see, like, the conversation between Cersei and Robert, where you knew she was just pretty much a bitch. But yet there was this really good, honest conversation between the two of them. And, you know, they just kind of recognized, they were just being married, you know, just for convenience and what have you. But so, it was somewhere around there that I was like, okay, this has got some gravity to it. So
I'm kind of surprised nobody said the initial moment in episode 1 where a kid gets thrown out the damn window. Like, that feels like a pretty significant moment. And for all of us, it doesn't seem to be the most.
It was a big surprise, but it wasn't enough. Like, there was so much yapping before that right. I'm just like, oh my God, so much talking.
Yeah. First they threw him out the window. Then they tried to kill him. Still not necessarily hooked, just watching for the sake of watching with friends. And then, yeah, it's not those, which poor Bran.
You know what?
He's doing all right.
I think it worked out for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
He's like still seeing everything, and now he's running everything. He is everything.
Like, nobody cared about him for the majority of my span of watching this show. Everyone's like, oh God, we're watching Bran again? Come on.
Dude took a 6-month vacation and got promoted. It's great.
Right.
that's like modern American corporate politics right there. Nice job, Bran. You played the game.
Well, how many seasons had pretty much been, was it into before you realized this was pretty much, this is like a pretty big phenomenon now?
Well, in the Hollywood Outsider community, it seems like it was a big deal, because I remember listening to every episode, specifically with you, Brian, where you would talk about Game of Thrones, and then Aaron and Scott got into it, and then they were talking about it, and then it kind of went from there. But it still did not hit me until probably season 6, where I was like, wow, people are really invested in this show. Like, this is a huge show. And I had no idea the reach that it actually had until then, which is a long time to not comprehend.
Red Wedding. Red Wedding is where, like, I realized that the world had exploded, because everywhere I went, there were people talking about the Red Wedding. Like, I can't believe that it killed Rob and Caitlin. I can't believe it. And, you know, I'm just like, you watch this show? And it was always people that you knew didn't like anything that you liked, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was just so shocking. Like, you watch this? You watch stuff like The Bachelorette. You watch this.
Right.
That's like a real phenomenon when it's reaching people that don't normally watch this kind of thing.
You know, on that exact note, sure, there's all these different moments that would actually blow up on the internet and you would hear all about them. It didn't register with me until about 7 months ago when my dad was like, "So tell me about Game of Thrones, son." And I went, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, Game of Thrones. It's really interesting." "That's not your show, Dad. You shouldn't be watching that show." "Well, me and Debbie are watching it and we're having a lot of fun." Oh my God, what is actually happening now? Because like this show is an anathema to everything my dad ever stood for, and he is enjoying it. So that's when I realized it was a big deal.
There's so many boobies.
Yeah. You're making a joke. That's real.
What about you, B?
It was probably season 3 or 4. Yeah, when you just got kind of the same thing where you overhear people talking about it that you didn't think, you know, you didn't think would watch it. But it's really ramped up in the last year. People, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen on Facebook, "All right, I'm finally giving in. I'm watching Game of Thrones," or just passing a guy, I think it was like the produce guy at the grocery store yesterday, overheard him just saying, "Yeah, I'm halfway through season 2 of Game of Thrones. Man, this is pretty good." You know, and it's just, you know, it's just crazy. Like all these little things. And you see, I mean, and then of course, anybody selling anything at this point has got their hands in the Game of Thrones machine, you know, and it's Oreos. Yeah. I mean, Wendy's on their website had nods to the show. I mean, it's just
milk. Got milk was one of their advertisements,
which is really clever.
It is.
So yeah, it's just it's a juggernaut at this point. So
hey,
it was probably around three or four whenever I noticed people were really starting to latch on to it.
Hey, guess what? Oreos, Game of Thrones Oreos, are just regular Oreos. I found that out the hard way.
Yeah,
what?
They just have a sigil on them that looks like generic. Some poor kid in a Chinese sweatshop made that. That wasn't, yeah.
No. They're basically what were you just expecting?
I don't know, man. They taste like Direwolf, I guess.
They weren't even double stuffed.
Yeah, something.
That's a chintzy chintz.
Maybe they taste like ash. I don't know. Something that connects the show a little bit more.
Tastes like grayscale.
Wine. It should have tasted like wine.
No, grayscale makes me laugh.
Actually, if they went with wine, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Wine flavored Oreos. I would eat those. As long as there's real wine in them. Real booze in every bite. Yum.
Just dunk them in the wine.
Yeah. So,
there you go.
Did it.
So, Aaron, why do you love the show so much?
Had a long time to think about that. The man who passes the sentence shall swing the sword, or should swing the sword. You remember that from the first episode?
Yeah.
That's Ned's advice in the very first episode, and Jon Snow follows it in the final episode. Dany walking through the ash-covered throne room in a vision in season 2 and touching the Iron Throne. Again, that came to fruition. Bran, the boy who was pushed out a window, crippled. His assassination attempt basically started everything that happened in between, and he ends up as king, and he has a really, really, really weird journey. And then, you know, what do we say to the God of Death? Not today. All these things. I love the show because it's a very good story. I do love a good story. As Tyrion said, I love a good story almost as much as I love a journey. I love a journey more. And this series has been an overall incredible journey. I'm a fan. I've made friends of other fans. I've made memories because of a TV show. I mean, all these things, you know, I watch it with my group every single week for season after season, ever since season, I think we started in season 2. All those years, we've been watching as a group, watching the show as it developed and grew thick and thin. And we've talked about it, you know, in between. And it's just all of that together is why I love that show.
Well, to bounce off of that, I'm going to have to say that I love it primarily for the fact, especially this last season, is that it brought a group of us together to the point that we would get together every Sunday. We would get together early. We'd go swimming in a pool. We'd have a nice barbecue, and we'd all just hang out and have a good time waiting for the show to come on. And beyond all the great story elements, beyond all the great characters. It because the show became something that brought us together and we had fun with each other. I love that show more for that reason than anything with the show itself.
It created a brilliant world where every piece was connected to another, and the dominoes, it was the domino effect. You could see everything impact another. And it was so intelligent to watch how they put this all together and was able to connect it with people like we've talked about who you normally would not see interested in a television show like this. Hello, me. And it was just fun.
Hello.
But beyond that, it connected to us on a personal level. Like, all of us have been invested in this show, and we somehow got invested in each other's lives more because of it. And it's just apparently been a huge impact on millions and millions of people. And it, for the most part, until this last season, brought to everyone together in a very positive way.
That's
without any negativity.
It's the internet these days. I was actually expecting that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the internet blew up when The Sopranos ended, you know, their infamous final episode, which in hindsight really wasn't that bad. But yeah, this just with the social media access that everybody has nowadays, this just was like wildfire. It just went up, boom, all over the place. But yeah, I mean, kind of to echo her sentiment there. I love the show because of the, it's just really like a really gorgeous tapestry that's just well woven. There's so many threads, so many little callbacks later in the seasons that like I said, call back to as early as the first, you know, first episode or the, you know, or the first season. So, and that just helps the rewatchability of it. So like in season one, there's a 15-20 second scene with Beric Dondarrion. It's just like a throwaway scene or whatever, but you don't see him again for another, what, 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And by the end of it, he's a major player, you know? So little things like that. And like I said, the little callbacks, those really, to me, is just really what makes the show worth watching over and over again.
Well, and it's really great, too, because they were able to surprise all of us at least one time, if not handfuls of times. But they didn't do it just for shock value. Like,
yeah,
the things that were
in.
Right. It made sense. Everything was logically placed, and they still managed to surprise people, but in an effective way. And it wasn't like, oh, OK, they're doing this just because they want to see everyone surprised. And oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing that. You're like, you always had to expect the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you didn't get the worst, but you got something really bad, and it was equally as surprising.
Although I don't miss the book readers. No offense to y'all. My wife is one of them, but I do not miss the seasons where the books were caught up with the show, and they had to constantly remind, because you said it was like season 6 when you realized it. Well, that's like the books were gone by then. So when we were watching it, when the books covered all this stuff, they just loved that. I knew that because I read the books.
Didn't put that in there, and it was in the books, and it should have been in there. And
that's not in the books. That should be in there.
There is no Night King in the books.
Well, there is in the show. Guess what? He did.
Wait, there isn't a Night King in the books?
Not yet. No.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
Oh, this is bullshit. I'm not reading that.
Were you thinking about reading it?
Just wait. Book 6 is coming out soon.
Someday.
Amanda, do you think there was any kind of maybe opportunities that the show missed?
Well, I think that it definitely could have benefited from a more thorough final season. I think that would have helped it and helped people not be as angry about it, although you can't make everybody happy. But we lost a lot of the intricate moments between characters and watching the residual fallout the way we're accustomed to from the show, the way we've been taught and crafted to like expect how things are going to work. And it's not even just our expectations for what characters should have had what arc. It's just about the way things should have flowed. Mm-hmm. Like, we should have been able to see, for example, we should have been able to see the fallout from John's mistake, or, you know, whether it's a very heroic thing he did, however you see it, with
Wait,
him killing
which,
Danny.
Which mistake?
True. But yeah, with him killing Danny, we got, all of a sudden, we were cut to his consequences, but we didn't see the actual fallout. And normally we would have had enough time to actually see that grow.
Mm-hmm.
We would have seen him experience that on a more detailed level. Not that we didn't get an idea of it, but it just wasn't as fleshed out as prior seasons probably would have done.
And I wouldn't call that a mistake, by the way. But
yeah,
no, I'm saying depending on how you see it.
Yeah. But let's face the facts of who John was and what those consequences would it be. He would have been coming down the stairs with snot bubbles coming out of his nose and crying and being like, everyone's like, what's going on? And he'd be like, it's Danny. And they're like, what happened? Well, she's dead. Oh my God. Who killed her? It was me. And you know, that's what we missed. We wouldn't need anything else, but that's what, like, John with his character and who he was, that's what we missed.
There are ramifications that affected thousands of people, I shouldn't say millions, in the show because of what he did. And what led them to the conversation that they had with the small council, because Danny was a queen to many, many people. And we didn't get to really see the impact to even somehow the now alive Dothraki.
That part I agree with. So much John, I don't care. That part,
right.
I didn't bother me. We should have had more with celebrating her loss, because a lot of people felt her loss and it didn't feel like anybody felt her loss but Grey Worm. And that was a mistake. We should have fleshed that out some more because she deserved that. If it's a character people have followed for 10 years, they deserve that, or 8 years, whatever. So I get some of that. I don't care what the John thing. Like, I feel like, yes, John, our John is right about what we would have got with John. But we needed more with the death and the impact
on everybody.
The other people. Yeah. So like much like Daenerys, I would say Benioff and Weiss bought into their own hype a little bit, where they felt like they could, you know, after season 6, they realized they wanted to take a few shortcuts because they wanted to go ahead and get to the Star Wars thing or whatever they were planning on doing. And they just threw out 13 episodes, and I'm sure they mapped it out, but they sure didn't give themselves any wiggle room at all. And I do feel, Brian, to your question, that maybe HBO should have forced their hand a little bit and said, look, you do need to flesh out, you know, especially after the reception of season 7, you do need to flesh it out a little bit more, one or two episodes. And this is greatness. Like, you were in a hurry. For some reason, you're in a hurry, and you missed greatness. It's still very good, but you missed greatness because you were in a hurry for whatever reason. And I still think everybody put their heart and soul into it. Just for some reason, it does feel rushed, and it does feel unnecessary in many respects.
Well, all right.
Well, do you have anything to add to that? I mean,
no, not really. It's actually kind of... actually just really hit a lot of what exactly I was going to say anyway. So that was, appreciate that for whoever hacked into my notes. So, no, I mean, but yeah, I think just to give a little bit more on that, if they would have expanded a little bit on the Danny John relationship, where you would have felt a little bit more of his struggle with sticking with her or killing her. You know, that's one of probably about 10 or 12 different little plots that could have used a little bit more time, visiting. But yeah, I just think that's just the biggest thing. Just take a little bit more time. Really, I think, you know, talking with you the other day, Aaron, maybe 8 episodes, each one of those seasons would have been fine. I would like to have seen 10, that's, you know, the normal amount. That might be just a hair too much, but somewhere in that 8 to 10 episode per season, I think would have been ample time. We still could have had a whole lot of drama, whole lot of cool battles. And, I think, that would have been just the nail in the coffin, just cementing this as probably the greatest series ever made.
This is a serious question. This goes, and I'm going to point it to you, Brian, because you are like the most dedicated fan I know to this show. I'm sure not in the world. I'm just mean that I know personally.
Sure.
Is that does that bother you? Because you worship this show, like in the ground. I mean, you read up on everything. Does that bother you that the last two seasons, even though they were still good, that they could have landed it as the greatest show of all time if they just stressed?
I don't let it bother me. I look at the whole product. I've had, well, what is there, 73 episodes, basically 70 episodes of what I consider pretty much greatness. And the last few, really, you know, okay. So it didn't finish as strong as I wanted. I could sit here and I could nitpick really season 7 and 8 till, you know, till tomorrow morning. And, you know, but I don't choose to do that because I look at it as a whole. I look at it, you know, kind of to your word earlier, a journey. And I look at the whole journey, not just the destination. So it's for the whole ride to me has been fantastic. And I still think it's, for me personally, it still is one of the greatest shows ever made.
I agree with that. You know, and could there be a way to fix this season or do something else? Maybe pay a bit more fan service to the amount of effort it takes to watch a show. Give people a little bit more of what Arya can do. Give people a little bit more about this whole Targaryen line that Jon has. They could have done a couple more things to make those things matter, but instead they kind of didn't. But in the last episode, I think in my mind, they give their whole synopsis or their whole thesis behind the last episode of the show when Tyrion says, no one's going to be happy about anything that comes out of this. And to me, that's the writer saying, here you go. This is what we expect you to be like. You're not going to be happy, but there's a whole lot of compromises happening here.
Heck, we even heard that from Ramsay Bolton, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. If you think there's a happy ending, you've not been paying attention.
Right.
Which has been my favorite thing to say to people, and I get in trouble for that, so I probably should never say that again. But sometimes I feel like people should pay attention.
He said we'd meet again.
And here we are. At the end of the world.
He said I'd shut many eyes forever. You were right about that too.
Brown eyes? Green eyes? And blue eyes. What do we say to the God of Death?
Not today.
Well, let's talk about a little bit about season 8. It, you know, it can be broken down into pretty much two halves, the Battle of Winterfell and the War on King's Landing. So let's start with the first half and the battle with the Night King. How did this first half of the season sit with you? And now that you've had some time to sit with it, how you feel about it? Tell me that.
Well, fine. I'll just tell you that. The thing that I think about this first half of the season is that this is where they did a lot of their heavy lifting. They got you to be really invested in a whole group of characters. They made you fall in love with them all over again. And then they put them in grave peril. And not only was it grave peril, but it was insurmountable odds in the form of grave peril. So you had no idea what was going to happen all the way until the very end, in which we get this great, beautiful moment where Arya ganks the Night King. It was well done. This is where I think they did their heavy lifting. I think from this point on, the show was a lot of like, okay, how do we wrap this up?
By the way, masterstroke. I just want to say absolutely brilliant on the Night King, because to kill him off in that third episode, I firmly believe this is what turned the tide of the series in terms of fan feedback, because people wanted this to play out in King's Landing. They wanted zombies to eat Cersei's head or, you know, the commoners or whatever. But doing it at this point, that feels like a George R.R. Martin kind of thing. You know, we did not expect it to be done. We did not, you know, everybody looked like they were dead. And turns out, nope, because you got like Master Assassin, you know, Arya Wick just running up and taking people out. So I thought that was a masterstroke. And if people want to love to critique the show, well, then freaking give it kudos for what it does get right. And that it got absolutely right. And I don't care how dark it was, because I didn't have that problem. I watched it on my TV when I got home. It was kind of hard to see at my friend's house. I got home and watched it. Fine. So maybe it was just the compression issue. I don't know, but it was fine. Could they brighten it a little bit? Sure. Didn't affect my enjoyment. And I've rewatched that whole Killing the Night King thing at least 20 times, maybe 30.
It's so great.
I just love it. Love it. There's nothing about that I don't like.
I will say the first half of this season that focuses on the Night King in that battle is... it's masterfully crafted. There's so much intensity in it, but there's so much character building with the Night King, the Battle of Winterfell.
Maybe not the battle plan itself. That was a little
that was a little disastrous.
Get in there, Dothraki. Go.
Well, and how did that many of them, like, there's a lot of them that managed.
They have a storage locker in the back of Winterfell where they hid out until the battle was over. That was the deal.
They obviously do, because that's where they had those big battleship chains that they were dragging the dragon out of the frozen lake with.
Exactly.
Like, where did those come from?
That's a great question.
Hey, it's in the script.
That was one of my favorite moments in the show. Like,
why was it in the script?
It's a dumb plan. It's one of the dumbest plans. And they just happen to carry chains with it? What? And it's not like, look, go rewatch that episode. There's no Ace Hardware or Myers anywhere around there. Yeah, it's an ice mountain. There is no hardware store nearby where they can find these chains to drag out the dress. So.
Those are the White Walkers I felt the worst for. It's like, who's those ones that had to lug these chains across all these mountains? God.
So there's some things you just got to swallow some logic. That's all. I'm sorry I cut you off, but that was just something.
Well,
funny.
No, that was pretty much it. I really liked the way that they handled the Night King and having Arya be the one to slay him, and the how close he got to Bran, especially now knowing that he is, like, he becomes the king, and just seeing his power in every moment. Like, he didn't even squirm when he was standing next to the Night King.
Nor did he tell Theon, just wait a minute.
Yeah, right? Seriously, I cried when Theon died.
It could have been like, Theon, you're a good man. It could have been Theon, heads up. Hang out. Just a second.
Dude, he somehow knew about all of, like, I know that it's not explicitly said that he could see the future by any capacity, but he seems to know things that are about to happen.
He knows he has to be in certain places. He doesn't know why. That's what I got from it.
I think he knows that some people are about to die and he doesn't even care about it, because he's like, no, you're where you need to be because you're going to get me to the final round, bro. Like, I need you.
Finish him. Can I just, there's one thing, like, this really bugs me that people still bring this up, that Bran spent the whole time just, like, rolling around in his eyes, flying the ravens around or whatever while the Night King was coming. I'm like, go back and rewatch the episode. He did that. It's basically like a GPS tracker for the Night King, so the Night King knew where he was. Because as soon as the Night King shows up, he pops right back out and his little eyeballs pop back out.
Yeah.
That was a tracking system.
Yeah, this is part of the problem with, like, everybody watching the show is, and, you know, if you're one of these people and you feel triggered by me saying this, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, but so many people who wouldn't normally watch a show like this don't have the imagination to carry forth or carry that story through.
Bold words, but I like them. I like them. But I didn't say it. John did.
Yeah, I'm just speaking for Aaron at this point.
There were a few things that happened in this final season where people are like, well, that's not possible. Or how did this happen? Or what did this? And I'm like, did you not pay attention to what was happening? How did you not get those cues? Like, there was another part where they look up, where he's looking, Euron looks up into the sky, and that's when the dragon comes through. And it's like, you could tell he's blinded by the light, which they do show.
Wrapped up like a douche.
Right. but that's why he couldn't see the dragon, right. And that's why they didn't do anything. And people were like, well, I didn't understand that he couldn't see. I'm like, he's squinting. How do you, like, these are body cues that I feel like just naturally get picked up. But I don't know if it's just there's so much content in each episode. It's hard for people to grasp what's important and what's not. So they're looking for everything else. But there was just so many of those moments in this final season where I was like, just rewatch it and pay attention.
On the same token, they were like, well, the week before, Rhaegon got shot. Rhaegon, whatever his name is, got shot down. And they didn't even have any of this firepower. I'm like, they ran. There was never an attack, you dummy. Go rewatch it. Like, they were never attacking anything. They got it, ambushed. And she's like,
it was all defense.
Yes, it was all defense. I can't believe, now the dragon can take out everything. It always could. It just didn't have a chance to. Did you watch the previous seasons? It blew everything up every season.
Even the ice dragon blew up the
back.
Wall.
Yes.
Go back and watch SportsCenter, please.
I mean, people. If you're a fan, you're a fan. I think that's great. It's just like sometimes I like people would, and yes, it always leads to an argument, and it shouldn't, and I probably shouldn't let it. I'm just as guilty. And when you say pay attention, it is condescending, and I don't mean it condescending, but sometimes you're just like, it was in the show. It was in the show. That part, like, there are things I agree with you. Cersei got ripped off. But that was in the show.
Well,
and I'm sorry, we were talking about the first half, and we just got totally into King's Landing. So we got back up.
Well, no, let's keep it going. Let's talk. I mean, well.
Well, no, I really think it's important. The first half, I think those first three episodes, and I mean this, I don't like the battle strategy in The Long Night. I will give you that. They really should have come up with a better plan. But on the same token, they were also like surprised that they were there so quick. They didn't really have a plan and they were still working their plan through. There are some factors. You got to give them a little leniency, I guess. But I do agree. Everybody had zombies all over them. Somebody else probably should have died. But the two episodes before that, I thought were absolutely perfect. And most of The Long Night was perfect. Or it was damn good. Maybe it needs to be lighter, but that doesn't take away from how good the episode was as a whole.
And if the White Walkers aren't walking towards you, why would you move towards them in utter darkness? Just wait for the sun to come up and then you'll see everything. Just hang out and wait. Why would you force and rush towards it?
That I will say that was like everybody was talking about how cool that moment was.
It was really cool visually, but it was like logically really dumb.
And Melisandre's like, hey, I just lit your swords up or whatever. And they're just like, oh, we're just going to run into them, which is the Dothraki way. They get cocky and they just run into battle. So I don't even know if that was part of the plan or they're just stupid. But why did she even light him up? I mean, I don't get that point. But there's so many cool moments in this first half. Like Brienne being knighted is beautiful.
Oh my God.
There's so many beautiful moments.
Well, as far as why did she light them up? Fire does kill the White Walkers. They're
right.
The normal Dothraki swords don't. They just basically cuts them into two White Walkers.
Right.
It just doubles the population.
Is this like mitosis or something?
It just doubles the population.
Forced mitosis is what it does. Fire.
There you go.
Brian's like, those White Walkers took a census and they won.
Somebody's been watching Evolution.
All right. Well, you did bring up King's Landing and, they did take out Cersei. So was her end of the war fairly represented?
No, this is the biggest, like everybody talks about Daenerys. No, that worked for me fine. Cersei's ending throughout the entire last season was a complete and total whiff. And I honestly think Benioff and Weiss should be held accountable. You took probably the greatest villain in history, of television history, if not the greatest, top five. And I would like to hear what the argument against that would be. You took this character who had been built up brilliantly for 7 years, including the seventh season. She had a lot of great stuff in the seventh season too. And you gave her like 12 lines. She sat around drinking wine while pregnant. We think she's pregnant. She never actually got a bump that I saw or whatever, but she's supposed to be pregnant. Okay. And she referenced it herself. So she's definitely pregnant.
Well, I wouldn't say definitely pregnant.
She's dying. She said, I don't want my baby to die. I think she's pregnant.
I don't know.
Well,
man.
Considering all the time jumps that's happened in the last season plus,
yeah,
you would think she would have already had 3 more by that time.
With everybody she's banging, man.
Agreed. So how do you, like, their argument is going to be that they didn't rush this season. And I feel like most of the season works for me really, really, really well. But how do you make that statement while actually watching what you did to one of their best characters by not giving her anything to do? She has nothing to do. Her only real action is she bangs Euron. And she kills Missandei. That's it. Go back and remember. I mean, she has like 12 lines total in five episodes. That's ridiculous. And it's unacceptable.
Okay. Most of her strength is the political nature.
Correct.
Pulling strings, forcing others, blackmailing, just outright killing, whatever. We're dealing with a whole other situation at this point. This is out of her realm of expertise, so to speak. She's not going to have her Master of Whispers or Qyburn do a whole lot. Qyburn's pretty much tapped out by this point. He's figured up his magic, his special weapons and what have you. He's brought the mountain back to life, but she can't, there's nothing left in that well. So there's nothing left for her to do at this point, especially once you get to the point where this great army that she bought, which is another kind of a wasted little thing, because this
I like
Golden
that,
Army or whatever was supposed to be like this badass group of, mercenaries.
The Golden Company.
The Golden Company, right. We never really got that established. They're pretty, but...
No elephants, though.
Yeah.
But I was fine. I was fine with her exit, though. I was...
Okay.
That's where... because to me, there's not even all the horrible stuff that she's done over the years, and as much as just the biggest bad word you could possibly call her, there is not a graphic enough death for her. Well, and we've seen some pretty graphic stuff.
Well,
so
yeah,
to have her go out with the person she loves the most and the person that loves her the most, they came into this world together. They go out together. Sure, if they would have stepped 10 feet over, they would have been fine, but
no, they would have suffocated either way. I mean, right. You know, that's just, look, I don't disagree with the death thing. I think the death was beautiful. It was just, she needed more character moments. That's where she needed more character moments to show where she was.
I agree. She's a major pillar for the show. She deserved a little bit something else.
I don't know. To try to look at the from the other direction. You're talking about one of the biggest characters in the show who has this powerful arc of just nothing but death and destruction in her way. And she is still pretty much that character throughout the majority of the season, where she just stands there and looks fierce and drinks wine. And as soon as her power is threatened, as soon as everything is threatened about her, what does she do? She goes and she starts cowering down a set of stairs. Her one protector that she has left is too busy being a zombie and pissed off at his brother at the same time to even protect her. So she kind of just slinks past him, like in the hopes of nobody bothers her. And then she finally gets down to this dark, dank hole in the ground. And that's where she ends up dying. So she has this arc of power and strength and she dies like an animal in the street.
This is also not surprising to me whatsoever that she cowered away, because if we look in every single season where there's been a battle, she, along with the women, are taken down below. I mean,
that's true.
That's what she's used to doing, but she was trying really hard to maintain her power and not forfeit, because her and Danny have this like unspoken yet sort of spoken hatred for each other because they want to be the ultimate queen. And Cersei was able to destroy Dany mentally just by not backing down, by her taking Missandei and like, sorry, time for you to go. Like, she had moments of power.
It was a weasel.
She had moments of power in this final season. I'll say for sure she deserved to have more time as a villain.
Because there were four episodes before the battle.
there was definitely more time to integrate her. But at the same time, we were focusing on the Battle of Winterfell. And she's not anywhere near this. How we would incorporate her into that would be very confusing, unless they were doing back and forth where they were giving some glimpses of what's happening at King's Landing. Then they were going back to...
Well, that's what they... Like, seriously,
which they've done before.
Go back to The Long Night. That was an 80-minute episode that was a battle. You could have had 10 minutes of that in King's Landing, where you just focused on Cersei, her plans, what she's doing,
right,
her mentality, where she's at mentally, where she's at strategically, any of that, so that you had those moments to remind us, hey, she is the ultimate villain. They relied so much on our memory of previous seasons that they forgot that they had an actual character in King's Landing to deal with. Instead, they let Snidely Whiplash have all the lines.
Ultimately, she wasn't the ultimate villain of the show. It turned out to be one of our heroes.
I get that, and I think that's a clever twist. But I just feel like she deserved, based on her contribution to the show, she deserved more. And every time Lena Headey was there, she just dominated.
I still think that she's the biggest villain. She doesn't compare to... Dany did some destructive stuff in one season.
I mean, she blew up a whole downtown.
But if you look at all of the things that Cersei has done time and time and time again, and how...
then you multiply that times about 2,000, and you might get 25% of what Dany did.
Dany did right. Something horrendous, but she also did not... Like, Cersei is very deliberate in every...
was Dany.
We'll just agree that you're wrong.
Right.
It felt pretty deliberate.
Hers was deliberate, but hers was not as thought out as Cersei's every move is. Cersei thinks about ways of how she can manipulate and contrive the situation to benefit herself, even if it hurts every other single person.
I agree. She's a meaner person.
It's a quality versus quantity. How's that?
I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny part. Like, so she's like, I'll try this and I'll be like this. And Danny's like, I'll just burn your house down.
Right. I'll burn your house down and everybody who's ever made you a pancake in the process. I mean, come on.
Pancake in the process.
That's awesome.
She made Grey Worm really something else. That's for sure.
You know what? This is the first time I've liked Grey Worm is this final season. I always thought he was the most boring character that I'm just like, wah, wah. But here he got some... I was really pushing for... I mean, as soon as they said, him and Missandei said they were going to get together and go to Noth, I'm like, well, they're dead. At least one of them is.
At least one of you is dying.
Yep.
And honestly, I kind of figured, I mean, the way they set that up, it was kind of typical movie or TV fashion where the soldier goes off to war and I'll be back for you, sweetheart, whatever. And then, of course, he dies. And that's kind of what it looked like they were setting that up. And maybe that was deliberate. So they're like, oh, well, there you go. They're making plans just before he goes to battle. So, of course, he's not going to come back. And no, turned out we were fooled.
Well, we talked a little bit about like how the Long Night, their battle strategy wasn't great. But I didn't mention the moment in the library with Arya was great.
Oh, my God. It was amazing.
So intense.
God,
yeah. So intense. But coming back to this, the Euron sabotage, I mean, I know we kind of made light of it, but were you guys okay with this? I was fine with it. But some people really had a problem with the fact that she was sabotaged, then they left and everything else. I'm like, I don't really have a problem with that.
The what?
When they harpooned Rhaegal.
Oh, just out of the blue, Rhaegal? Just all of a sudden
No, were they hidden between the rocks or whatever?
Just that made no sense.
Okay, so what was your problem with it? Because I was okay with it.
They're about, I don't know, 500 feet in the air, give or take. Let's just say anywhere from 300 to 1,000 feet in the air. How did they not see, I don't know, 50 ships off to their port side?
I would have to agree with that sentiment. That's a lot of like, okay, this is one of those moments where I have to suspend my disbelief.
I was going
to
say, he's a Navy man. I'm going to trust what
happened to
Brian
fly
says.
In the path that this thing is because they didn't, you know,
And by every moment we saw how we saw the scorpions work, like it took them a minute or two to figure out exactly how to aim that thing every single time, but not this one time.
Right. Not today.
And okay, let's say you took the one down. Why not just take 20 seconds, make an about face,
circle around
behind behind the ships and just blow them all out of the water.
She didn't want to risk her last trip. I mean, I'm just trying to.
They couldn't. Okay. No, I know. There was a lot. Yeah, I mean, people have their things that they can nitpick about. Whatever. That was one of mine. First words out of my mouth is fly around the back, fly around the back,
and go find the beach that they all landed on and pick them up.
Right. Where are you going? Where are you going? Just fly around because they can't turn. They can't do a 180 with those scorpions.
Right.
And even if they could, they're shooting straight into their sails. So.
She was traumatized. That's what I'm going with. But I do understand the argument.
Well, we saw what happens when she's traumatized. She blows up a city.
Fair. All right.
I mean, blows up kind of insinuates that it took a long, took 5 seconds for her to do that. No, it was a prolonged, like, bombing of a city where it's just her all by herself. At any moment, she could have stopped and said, you know, this is probably a little excessive. But no, she just kept going.
Dude, she was doing zigzags through every street. She was like,
I love how they didn't show her face the rest of the episode, too. I really, really love that. Just because it's just like, okay, we're seeing the dragon as basically a nuclear bomb or Hiroshima or something along those lines. It's basically just a bomb dropped in King's Landing. You saw who dropped it. Now you watch the bomb work. That's what that was. I really dug that.
Again, Hiroshima, 2 seconds. This what she did, an hour and a half.
It took a minute. It definitely took a minute.
Oh, well, how did that resonate with you guys? That whole massacre or
when
technical precision or whatever you want to call it, however you perceive her strafing the whole of King's Landing.
Do a barrel roll.
Well, there's so many people who are mad about the decision, like how she got to this point, and they're like, this isn't who Dany is. And I kind of felt like this is exactly who Dany is every single time. And I've said this from the beginning, like I've always loved Dany, but she is very impulsive. She is always driven by emotion. I mean, she, from the very beginning, that's who her character has been. Now, granted, yes, she has obviously tried to free the people and she always felt like she wanted to do good. But in this moment, she, and everything she's done up to this moment, she feels like she's done the right thing because whatever she believes is the good thing to do. But when she gets to this moment, she's recapping everything that Cersei has taken away from her, everything she's lost, every person that she's ever loved or cared about is gone or has betrayed her.
And all of those people were, you know, against her.
Against her.
And you have to consider, which I feel like people weren't talking about enough. You have to consider, in my mind, because a lot of people are just calling her crazy, and I don't agree with that at all.
No.
I feel like it's more tactical than crazy, especially after you see the finale.
I think
you
it's know. Impulsive, but I think she knew what she was doing.
Yes. It felt very much to me like, these people are going to come back and try to kill me and kill me and kill me. I can just end this now and we start a new world. we start a new world where everybody's not trying to kill me. And I can't create my new world if these sons of bitches hate me already and are just going to keep coming after me. I need to clear the playing field.
I don't even think it was, I mean, partly that, I think it was more of, she's said at every turn, if you're against her, mm-hmm. if you aren't going to kneel to her,
fire and blood,
you're done. She'll blow you up. She'll set you on fire. It doesn't matter. You're going to die. She's going to sentence you to death. And this was a really quick and effective method to just take everybody out who's not going to bend the knee to her. She knows that every single time, all of those people are going to continue to bend the knee to Cersei. They're not going to cooperate and they're not going to love and respect her the way that she wants. They're sitting at the gates defending Cersei, who she absolutely hates and despises because of what she stands for. And she knows that these people love her. They're going to fight for her, which is what she wants them to do for her. She knows mm-hmm. that it's not going to change.
No, because she saw that people were dropping their swords. She saw the majority of the people that were left were citizens of the city. They were people. They're peasants. They weren't people who were following her. This isn't an act in which she was just like, hey, you know what? All these people still love Cersei. No, she just decided to just lay waste and to prove her strength. There was a moment of strength for her, or how she decided to prove it. There was no, everyone was showing signs of giving up and in favor of, okay, great, Dany is our queen, with the exception of Dany. Dany was just like, okay, well, that's not good enough for me. I need people to remember this.
Surrender is not the same thing as respect and love. And that's what Dany has been seeking from her
fear.
People.
She said fear.
Let
it be fear. Let it be fear.
She was trying to get all of that. But yeah, of course it was fear. But those people were not saying, Dany's my queen. They were saying, well, I guess we don't want to die today. Not today. Well, they did anyway, but.
Yeah, but I think you're missing the point in which that it wasn't just soldiers that were the ones that she killed. Like, it was.
I don't think anybody's missing that point. I mean, everybody, no, I think, understands that.
What is it? Very much like the king from Braveheart, you know, who's just launching arrows into the battlefield. Like, and the guy asked him, hey, you know, we're going to hit our own men. He's like, yeah, but we'll hit theirs too.
Right. So.
Right.
But like, she had attendants tell her time and time again that the people of King's Landing only fear Cersei. They, like, as soon as the bells are rung, the war is won, because that Cersei does not command the same sort of respect that Dany had up until that point, or what she was able to command up until that point. You have people who were following. See, the one thing that Dany has that nobody else had was that she had an ocean of followers that were devoted to her out of love. You had Jon, you had Tyrion, you had Lord Friendzone, you had all these other people who went to her just because of love. And she was not, and the thing that was that is interesting is that though she can inspire so much love out of these people who became so devoted to her, she was impulsive and she decided to go with fear.
And you know what? All those people that, especially that she surrounded herself with, that loved her and gave her good advice, were no longer there.
They were dead.
Yeah, no, agreed.
They were all dead, or tried to kill her, or kept making a bunch of stupid mistakes. Tyrion
should have been fired years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Dumb shit. That's one of those story things that, if you want to talk about, you know,
dropping the ball.
Yeah, exactly. He's been smart and cunning and all this other stuff for so long, and then all of a sudden, every decision he makes, he should have Costanza'd himself.
I feel like when you rewatch it. And yeah, you can take it different ways, and I'm sure they meant it certain ways, but I did not take it as she lost her damn mind. When she's on that, and I know she looks emotional and everything else, when she's on the dragon, and then she gets a very stern, just almost dedicated face. I mean, a battle face almost. I really felt like in that moment, she looked at it, she saw everything that she's lost, you know, her family has lost, and she saw all these people that have followed Cersei for years, and she made the decision to... She made the decision that this was going to be, she's going to clear the playing field. This is her moment to clear the playing field. We're starting my new world over, and they had every opportunity to surrender. They chose this. Just because Tyrion said that the bells rang and the thing's over doesn't mean I said that. I say something different, and I know what's best, because she bought into her own hype. That's what I feel like. Anyway.
Honestly, I'd probably burn the city too. If I lost, everybody I loved at one time, pretty much, and then I was hanging out there and nobody liked me anymore, I'd be like, damn, well, screw you too.
Jesus. Don't give her a dragon.
They said they were acting on your orders.
It was necessary.
Necessary? Have you been down there? Have you seen children, little children, burned?
I tried to make peace with Cersei. She used their innocence as a weapon against me. She thought it would cripple me.
And Tyrion?
He conspired behind my back with my enemies. How have you treated people who've done the same to you, even when it broke your heart?
Forgive him.
I can't.
You can. You can forgive all of them, make them see they made a mistake, make them understand. Please, Danny.
We can't hide behind small mercies. The world we need won't be built by men loyal to the world we have.
The world we need is a world of mercy. It has to be.
And it will be. It's not easy to see something that's never been before.
How do you know? How do you know it'll be good?
Because I know what is good. And so do you.
I don't.
You do. You do. You've always known.
What about everyone else? All the other people who think they know what's good.
They don't get to choose. Be with me. Build the new world with me. This is our reason. It has been from the beginning, since you were a little boy with a bastard's name. And I was a little girl who couldn't count to 20. We do it together. We break the wheel together.
You are my queen. Now. Always.
When Jon murdered her, was that good for the realm, or where did Drogon take her off to?
It's hard to tell whether or not it's going to be something. This is one of those things where you have to see how it all comes out in the wash at this point, because we get Bran instated as the king, and yet Bran's, by all accounts, is showing signs that the wheel isn't as broken as people think the wheel seems to be. You know, will you be our king? Well, why do you think I came down here? Where's my war master and my master whispers? Okay, where's Drogon? Okay, I'll go find out where Drogon is. These are all things that lead me to believe that there's a chance in Bran that could mean that in the future it's not going to be as rosy as everyone hopes it to be, and Bran can be just as much of a nightmare as anybody else, if not worse, because, well, Jon can see the future.
Yeah, I don't know about, I mean, Bran looks
not
like
Jon, but Bran can see the future.
Bran is the least troublesome person in the whole wide world. I love the idea that the show made us love a character, support her, and then suddenly realize she's not who we thought she was, even though we already had inklings. Like, it's one of those things where I've had those friends where you see a couple different instances where you're like, man, I don't know if I should be friends with them. But then, you know, you realize, oh, you know what? That was just a bad day, or they didn't end up doing the thing I thought they were going to do. And
that's
then,
pretty much every text message you get from me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if Brian like burns down a city, I get it. I'm like, I should have saw that coming. I really should have.
He told me last week.
It's just, and you see it in a lot of leaders, you know? I mean, how many people have we supported and voted for and everything else in our lives? And then you find out later that they're not who we thought they were. And it was a power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. That is just, That is just a factor. The Iron Throne is toxic. It's a, much like fandom currently, it is very, very toxic. And she wanted it too much. And you go back, and I've always had this feeling that she would break bad at some point because of all the different things. Like, she always wanted to burn somebody. Mm-hmm. As soon as she got them dragons, she's like, burn them up, burn them up. Go watch when her brother died. She had no emotion. She enjoyed it. Like, she has had a very vicious side. Now, killing peasants and everything else, yeah, I don't think she would ever go down a street and kill a bunch of innocent people. But those were people from King's Landing where her family died. Her family were ousted. They'd been supporting the king who did this to her family for decades. In her mind, that's a different series of events.
And they're not innocent anymore.
Yeah, they're not as innocent. She gave them their chance and they didn't take it in her mind.
Well, I definitely feel like for Dany dying at Jon's hand, I thought that was a really surprise, probably the only really surprising thing that happened in the episode that made me go, whoa.
Really? Bran becoming king. Didn't
no,
make
no,
you go,
it surprised me. It surprised me, but it wasn't like, holy shit. Like, when that happened, I was like, oh my God, really? I said the things we do for love.
I was kind of heartbroken, honestly. I thought that was so sad.
It was very sad. I thought he was just going to, like, Jaime Lannister this life up and be like, no, this is a woman I love. And then he puts a dang sword dagger into her. And Emilia Clarke did a great job because you could see the betrayal that she felt as she was dying. It was all
about
the betrayal.
Scenes, her awesome speech beforehand was great, too.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's always great. But when I watched her performance, there were a couple people who dogged on her because she didn't give enough of an emotional performance in her death. You didn't feel the pain 100%.
I thought it was perfect.
Saw this multiple times, not just like one troll on the internet. And I'm like, I saw it as she didn't care about what she was physically feeling. She was caring about what she was emotionally feeling. Like, the person that she loved, that she thought was like they were mending things and fixing mm-hmm. things and whatever, and was the person by her side who has always said to her dying breath that you are my queen and you'll always be my queen, which is what she's always wanted people to say to her, mm-hmm. is the one who takes her out. Like, that was an emotional pain that she was experiencing. And I saw that 100,000% on her face, which is way more impactful than I thought if she was like, ah, you stopped me.
And the best part about that entire scene is the way she played it, like her belief in herself and everything else. It made us, or at least made me, I can't speak for everybody, obviously, where I'm like, man, she ain't so bad. Yep. Screw those kids. I get where she's coming. Like, she did such a good job. I understood why it's such a conflict for Jon. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, why is he so conflicted? She just burned up a whole town. Man, go look at her history and then look at the way she played that. I thought she did a great job. And I was completely on Team Dany a little bit at the end. I'm like, man, Jon, you dick. You didn't have to do that.
You know, for me, it was a matter of when that actually happened, we had no idea who did what. Like,
yeah.
Did she just stab John or did John just stab her? The way they played it out, it was a big surprise. And when they finally reveal that it's her, you're kind of heartbroken for John because and John carries that heartbreak throughout the rest of the episode.
HBO ruled out any potential Arya spinoff West of Westeros. Well, I was trying to show you.
This just in.
Yeah, HBO. They've ruled it out. No Arya spinoff. That's too so bad. Sad.
West of Westeros should happen.
Yes.
So HBO can go screw themselves.
But they did put up a picture on The Walking Dead of her with Daryl. So I'm like, does that mention?
Very cool. All right. So back to Daenerys. Brian, you have any thoughts on the whole death scene?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think this is some of the best acting that she's done. And really, honestly, for a lot of the major characters, this, I don't know, maybe the years of practice finally led to some really quality acting, but so many of them, Tyrion had his moments, mm-hmm. you know, they all, I mean, pretty much everybody had one or two scenes to where you could just, man, it was just fantastic acting, but it was, I don't think she was the mad queen, so to speak. When she was flying around, I think that was just more anger and just hatred at that point and whatever. I don't think that was crazy. Now, when she started giving that speech, that's when I think she was making it turn towards Mad Queen.
And her Hitler leather?
Yeah. You know, her.
Oh, they weren't even subtle about it in that scene.
She was like, Zig-ha!
especially with like the dragon behind her when the dragon lifts her wings. Yep. It's just like, that's, it's beautiful. It looks awesome. It looks great.
Beautiful shot.
Bastards are not being subtle.
Honestly, probably one of the coolest shots in this entire season.
I would say coolest shot of the whole series, honestly. It or at least
amazing.
One of them.
Amazing.
Mm. Oh.
But she believed in herself to the very end, and that was her problem. You know, that was her problem. Like, John did give her an opportunity. He's like, come on, I'm giving, like, please, how do you know, Danny? How do you know? And she's like, oh, I just know. I know what's good. So do you.
I know Jon Snow was short. I didn't realize he was a leprechaun.
Top of the morning, Daddy. Top of the morning. And then suddenly Drogon flies off. He's like, give me my knife back, Daddy. Give me my knife back.
Well, I hope you're going to talk about your theory, because I'm 100% behind Aaron's concept of what Drogon did.
Oh, man. All I wanted to do at the end, this is all I wanted. After the credits, I wanted us to cut to where Drogon was in Meereen, and like you just see him sitting outside the palace or something. You see maybe Daario he puts Dany on a bed, and then that red hot priestess from a couple seasons ago shows up and starts saying some words, and either her eyes open or her eyes don't open, but we think they're going to open, and then you fade to black. I think that would have been awesome.
So dope. I would have loved that.
That would have been a cool ending.
Would have felt more like a Game of Thrones moment. In many respects, to me.
Yeah, I kind of didn't expect them to wrap so much up. I thought they were going to leave us with some...
I mean, it is the series end.
I know, but that's so Game of Thrones, too. Just be like Inception with the top. Like, we've closed everything up, but now you get to decide what's going to happen from this moment on.
Well, we still do, because we're not getting west of Westeros.
We still have that moment.
Yeah.
I just showed it by saying, okay, well, there's a lot of things that Bran said that make me think the wheel's not broken. I'm sure you can come up with a whole lot of ideas as to how Jon is dealing with the North now. So those features are there. I just don't think they're as fantastical as we'd like them to be.
Yo, Bran is a little evil and crazy. I'm not going to lie to you.
I like Bran. I think he's cool.
Yeah, but he's a little evil and crazy.
He's pimp, man. Night King standing in front of him. He's just like, what's up? So he goes, Tyrion's like, hey.
Raven.
Tyrion's like, I think you should be king. And he's like, yeah, what's up?
It's like watching a horror movie like that for the fifth time or something. He knows what's going to happen. He's like, well, I know later on I'm going to be in this place, so yeah, I don't have to worry about this guy. Something's going to happen.
It feels right.
Why be scared if the Night King's standing right in front of you if you know you're going to be alive down the road somewhere? So
I think it's much less likely that Tyrion would still be alive after all this.
That's true.
And especially, yeah, my favorite part is Grey Worm is like, slaps him in the head, shut the fuck up, bitch! And then Tyrion's like, okay, and then does a monologue. So,
and they all go with exactly what he says. It's not even just that he spoke. They're just like, yes, Tyrion. Yes, yes, yes. Whatever you say.
Yeah.
We shall do this.
And they're all, here's what we're going to do from now on. Bitch, you're in prison. You don't get to tell me
you're
anything.
You're literally still in shackles in front of us, dude.
Well, that's where, you know, that was pretty much the scene where Bran was elected king in their crazy sort of pseudo-democracy. What... You think this system's going to work? I mean, John doesn't think they really broke the wheel. Maybe warped it a little bit, bent it, but maybe not broke it.
Yeah, I feel like this is more of what they want. I like how they just completely laughed at democracy. I thought that was hysterical.
America.
Yeah, like America. No. No. But they're going to, by the way, I like seeing Robert and Aaron all grown up and like got hot apparently.
Apparently. He still needs to grow into that nose though.
And big shout out to Uncle. Please
oh
sit.
My God. And then
sit.
Her eyes, I'm sorry, but my favorite part of that whole thing, and I've been very like teetering on liking Sansa or hating her through the entire series, but I loved her when her eyes just moved and looked at the chair. She looked at him, she looked at the chair, like, sit down. Yes. Did you not just hear me? Sit. Like he's a child.
Sit.
He's such a tool. My only issue is like, why? I am fine with this. I think Bran will make a very good king. You know, he's very practical. He's not emotional. You know, I am not somebody who believes you have to have empathy to be a good king. You have to be practical. And that's what he's going to be. He's going to be practical. Plus, he has the benefit of understanding our entire past and maybe even getting glimpses of the future. So there's a huge benefit to having Bran as the king. The only thing that I have a problem with maybe is, why does Sansa get to be all Canada and everybody else just sitting there, you know, like, well, I guess we're going to worship broken ass Bran for the rest of our lives. But, you know, we don't want to be free. I don't get that part of it.
That's my only real complaint. It was a little too easy for the North to be free.
Why does Sansa get to say we're playing Texas here? We're going to secede from everybody. We're going to do Brexit or Nexit the North. No, I mean they're the ones for the majority of them. They're the ones that fought to save everybody else south of them. So it kind of gives them a free pass. Hey,
okay,
we just lost a lot of people. We're the ones that saved your asses down here. Y'all didn't come join us. So we're gonna make this call ourselves. So
yeah,
I'm fine with that. And I don't think Bran would make a good king because Bran even said himself he's not Bran. He's the third three-eyed raven. So he's not – everybody keeps calling him Bran, but he's not really Bran.
See, I do think they messed that up a little bit. They did mess that up a little bit. They should have given him a little bit more personality. I feel like that was their showrunner's choice.
A personality.
Any. Yeah. Choose. Pick out of a bucket.
Just pick one.
But it doesn't really bother me. Let Bran be king.
The thing about this that bothers me is how does Sansa get to choose? And then Dorne, like
– I just said that.
But I'm talking about Dorne specifically. Not that Sansa gets to choose, but that Dorne is like the one
that's,
area.
That's what I just said. How do the other ones, they don't get to be free. That doesn't make any sense
but
to me.
But specifically, I'm saying them because they are always the
ones
who have been like.
Well, that's different than exactly what I said.
They're the only ones who have been very anti falling in line with things and didn't say a word, speak up. Like that bothers me. That's the only thing about this entire conclusion.
You know what?
Where they're
he's
sitting
new.
In a circle.
Well, he's new.
Yeah, he's new. They had, you know, the one leader, he was very real passive. And then Elyon Martell, she kind of, she was this kind of the stand-in leader for a while, and she really cocked it up, so.
She's still in the basement, I think.
He's probably just kind of like, you know what, we're just going to play it cool. We'll go along with what y'all say. We'll just stay off the radar for now till we kind of figure our shit out.
Well, the Iron Isles are at maybe at quarter strength. Dorne is maybe at quarter strength after everything that's happened. Because of what the North went through to defend itself, they're the only ones who might have been able to add to their strengths versus lose strength. So that is a good feasible reason as to why Sansa has the strength to be able to say, yeah, we're going to just do our own thing, because the North were the only ones that in defense of the North, they shored up all their strengths and defenses and everything to protect from the White Walkers. And that's what gives her the ability of doing that.
We've got Starks in every direction. We got Sansa in the north, Arya out west, Jon's further north. I'm sure some cousin is out east somewhere. But what are y'all's feelings on this, on kind of the ultimate resolution there?
My favorite one is that Arya, her conclusion tied up exactly how I would have wanted it to, where she's going to continue traveling. She's not going to sit idly by her siblings and just go along with whatever they're doing or try to hang out with Sansa in the north or visit Jon. She's very confident in, I'm going to continue on my independent journey with or without anybody else. And that's who she's become. And she's already said it before that she has questioned what is out there. And now she's going to go get it.
I hope she ends up on the east side of Westeros.
How did I get
Essos?
Here?
Or Essos, whatever. Just like completely on the other side. I like that. I was like, man, that was a long way to go to get to where I was.
You know, I was Sunday days old when I realized that Westeros and Essos are really just east and west of this whole thing.
Yeah,
I was
the
really
map
annoyed
is,
with myself.
The map's pretty amazing.
That light bulb just
it's got the old boy's got some life in it. Yeah. And I was actually annoyed because it's one of those situations where I finally clicked and I'm like, oh, George R. R. Martin, you son of a bitch. You couldn't have enough imagination to name the continent something else. You had to go with east and west. I hate you.
That's funny.
In fairness, now I showed Aaron this map. There's a map. There's an interactive map online. Mm-hmm. And if you've never read any of the books, and which I haven't, this thing is, you could just sit there for a week. Just going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole. And there are a ton of different names and all kinds of other stuff. So yeah, I'm going to cut him a little slack on that one where, you know, he just kept that one a little, keep this basic and then be creative with some other stuff.
No
slacks will be cut.
Okay. I personally love the endings. I really love the montage, the Stark montage as it ends, where you see... Well, actually, you know, the tribal council was wonderful. That was a fun moment. So I'm glad that we got to see that. Or small council, not tribal council. That's not Survivor.
And I, real quick, sorry, yeah. But how does Braun get the job of
Highgarden?
I don't care about Highgarden. I don't care about where he ends up living. There's nobody to take over Highgarden anyway, so why not? But he gets the Master of Coin when Tyrion just had to explain to him what a loan is.
Right.
Like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, Tyrion didn't know what it was when he took it either. Like, he didn't know how to do that job when he got it either.
Yeah, so. But he knew a concept of money.
You learn Braun, by experience.
You don't put a sellsword in charge of the money. That's one thing.
Right.
There's got to be somebody more qualified than that. Have Master of Grammar do it, you know, while he's doing the ships.
There you go.
And I like that the jackass and the honeycomb joke came back yet again. That was pretty funny.
And they still didn't finish it.
Yep, still didn't finish it. That was good. but I love the montage at the end was absolutely brilliant and well done. Shout out to Sansa's costume designer because that dress is phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. Are you into it, too? It was beautiful. Like
it was beautiful. Like the whole fact that it mirrored the trees of the north, and it was just like it was gorgeous. And like I like how like even her crown was a little bit like Cersei's old crown, but different at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it was very every little bit of detail they put in her whole costuming was just gorgeous.
Sansa looked the prettiest she's ever looked in this series, in this episode.
I don't know about that. I mean, she's never exactly been ugly.
She's never been ugly. She's a very beautiful woman. But, like, her makeup was on point. Her skin was glowing. Like, she looked amazing in this episode.
And all the time.
But.
All the time. And her makeup was. John's arc, we finally got the pets. Thank God. Ghost got his pets.
Snuggles. Oh my God! Did anybody?
So much for that BS. But the director said like a couple weeks ago. Well, we didn't have the budget to CGI in this direwolf for a hug. So you know that's why John didn't give the old pets to Ghost because we're saving it for this. Which, by the way, that doesn't excuse him. He still left without petting his damn dog. So yeah.
Not cool.
F you, John.
Did anybody scream with Tormund? Like I was so excited to see his face again and his little beard.
Nah. I mean, I was excited, but he didn't give proper goodbye.
Yeah, Tormund just stood there.
I don't care. Yeah. I was just excited to see him.
Oh, okay.
And I cried with Brienne.
Oh, like, there's Tormund not doing anything.
Oh, yeah. Brienne putting in Jaime's, he protected the queen.
He died protecting his queen.
He took his thing like, out of me and put it, you know, took it to her. So, yeah, that was nice of her.
What'd you say the other day? It wasn't even dry?
Yeah.
Jesus. It was still wet.
Wow.
This guy, I still don't like Jaime Lannister, man. Up to his death, I'm like, kiss my ass, you're a douche.
Yeah, everybody, oh, he's totally redeemed himself. I don't think you know what that word means.
I am that person. I said that until he actually did go to Cersei and love on her. I was like, oh, maybe he's really going to go there and kill her, especially once he figures out that she's been banging somebody else.
Everybody's telling me, no, he's going back because he loves her. And I'm like, no, he's not doing that. And I'm telling everybody how wrong they are. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
Sucker, I am.
That's what's great about the show, because he sat there and said, I will do anything for Cersei. That's why I'm going back to her. I love her. All this stuff. He said straight up telling us everything we need to know about why he's going back to her. And we just don't believe him.
We didn't want to believe that he would hurt Brienne like that and just like sleep with her and then leave. One night stand.
Well, I was okay with that.
How special Cersei was. I mean, one night with a different woman. And he's like, yeah, sure, I got to go back.
Everybody thought that.
Wait, what?
He said, I'm not sure everybody thought that. You're horrible. Brian, what are your thoughts like on the ends? You finally got this whole thing ended. What did you think?
The guy who's made a it's not even dry joke, whatever.
I'm judging anyway.
What do I think about what?
The end.
I enjoyed it. I thought the little montage thing was interesting. I liked it, but it felt like it was almost from a kind of like the little slow motion walks like in Guardians of the Galaxy where they all kind of walk out at the same at their rooms at the same time in slow motion and they all join each other. That's kind of what it felt like in a way, but it was I enjoyed it and Arya's that's kind of the ending I didn't know I wanted, but I wanted it for her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and I mean it's it, I thought it was all right. I thought it was all right.
And Grey Worm sails off, so Bran could have just said, "Hey, come on back, dude. They're gone."
Right, right. He could just be like, "Nah, we're good. We're good. Just relax. Unpack your bags. It's all
don't hide under my chair. It's okay."
All right. So we've had some pretty lengthy discussions and stuff so far, but we're going to mix it up a little bit and run through some. Sorry, Aaron, some rapid fire questions with really quick answers. Now, just a reminder.
Can we call it an awards? Complete series awards? Can we do that? I guess not.
No, they're not awards. I mean, they're just, it's just.
Whatever.
Given information.
Let's just do everything your way.
So no explanations. Just like say your answer.
Say your answer if you, like one sentence, if you need to just elaborate somewhat,
one
that's fine.
But, yeah.
I have one word answers, okay?
Yeah, no more five minute dissertations there, Amanda.
I have one word answers for almost everything.
I'll believe it when I hear it. All right, so let's start with number one. Amanda, favorite character.
Arya.
And mine is Lady Olenna.
Oh,
she's such a badass.
She is a badass.
Solid choice. Yep,
badass. Solid.
My favorite character is John.
Really?
Because he has your name?
No, it's not because of my name.
Such a shallow bitch.
But all right, so because you put me in a position where I have to defend my choice, John is a character who stayed true to himself no matter what. And
did Ned Stark.
And so did Ned Stark. And he you know, at every given choice that for him to turn into somebody who would succeed for the sake of succeeding or for his own personal gain, he never went that route. He just did what was right because of what he felt was right.
Okay, that's beautiful.
Right.
Good deal. All right, so next category is best moment.
My favorite moment is when Lady Olenna Tyrell, being the badass bitch that she is, says, "I want her to know it was me."
Nice.
Good one. Mine is Arya killing the Night King. I've literally rewatched that like 20 or 30 times, and I love it.
Mine was the Hodor, the backstory for Hodor.
Hold the door.
That whole explanation was such a mind trip there. No, sorry, no pun intended. But.
My moment is the sparring between Brienne and Arya.
That's a good one.
Yeah, good one, yeah.
Most emotional death for you?
Robb Stark.
Mine is going to be Tyrion killing Shay, and it wasn't so much for her dying, but him doing that just killed me inside. It was very emotional
it was
for me.
So sad.
Yeah, I'm going with Ned Stark because it was such a shock. It was such a shocker, especially considering the time that it happened there. So it's just. You really didn't expect that to happen, even though his head's literally on the chopping block. It was such a shocker. And then to make you wait a whole other week to make sure that it happened.
Even, you'll rewatch that episode. Even Cersei's like, "Oh, shit. We just beat her."
Right. Like, "Oh, God.
This is a bad plan. Joffrey,
this ain't good, boy."
All right. That's great. So mine is also Ned's death.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Good deal. All right, now this might be a little bit more difficult, but what is your favorite non-human character?
Nymeria.
That was Arya's dog, wasn't it?
Yep, that was her direwolf.
Drogon, because he avenged his mother and burnt that Iron Throne down because he's smart enough to know that the Iron Throne is really what killed her.
He's a really smart dragon.
He's very intuitive.
Yes, he is. Mine was 1-1.
Holy shit, Brian.
What?
The giant. He was basically the last giant that was alive.
Very cool.
Mine is also 1-1.
Get out of here. Who even knew this? Did you guys just Google shit?
For a character that really didn't have any words at all, even Hodor had more words than him.
Right.
Right.
It was really cool to watch him sit in on these meetings and to kind of fight and all that stuff. So, yeah. Which part of the known landscape would you like to live in?
This was the hardest question that I had because there's so many different places that looked amazing, but I'm going to have to go with the setting for Meereen, which is I looked up where it is. Peninsula Castellon, Spain. I don't think that's how you say any of those words except for Spain. But that's where it's actually located. And it looks, there's so many Spain locations that look amazing.
Yeah, I'm going Dorne all the way because they hump and they have beautiful areas and it's always warm and they barely wear clothes. Yeah, Dorne forever.
I thought it was like how the beautiful setting, not which like.
Yeah, that's beautiful living. Setting. They're all naked. Did you see that girl in jail? My God. When Bronn's just sitting there going, yeah, I'll take the poison.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Highgarden. It kind of had the best of every, had a little bit of everything. You had the rivers, you had some fields. It was a little bit of mountain area.
Mm-hmm. I could go with that.
Winterfell.
What?
Yep.
Well, you're a big guy. You want it cold?
I want it cold.
Come hang out with us.
Yeah, come to the Midwest, Florida guy.
We got you.
I'm like sweating right now down the crack of my ass. I want it cold.
And yep. Wow. Alrighty.
It's soupy here.
Ew. Ew.
To John's point, he's absolutely correct. We just don't agree on 1-1 and Ned Stark. It's we agree about the weather down here.
Got it.
So let's keep it moving, though. The most fulfilling character arc.
1,000% Arya.
Yeah. 1,000. Completely agree. Yeah, I love her 3,000.
Get out of here. You did not just do that. You so bitch. That was so good, and I hate it.
Well, not I'm going to keep today. It in the family. I'm going with Sansa.
I can get behind that. Literally. You know what I'm saying?
Ew. Get out of here.
Sorry.
She's 22 years old.
She's 23
man.
Years old. Not that I've looked it up.
She went from a spoiled bitch to a badass queen, and she's, to me, has got had probably the longest journey. From
she paid for every single ounce of that. That's why she's also my character too.
Oh my God, get out of here, you two!
Well, we just picked Arya, so I mean,
I know, but they've like matched half of their answers so far.
Well, good, they can date later. I don't.
All right. Well, what about the least fulfilling character arc?
Jaime Lannister, because he was who he was in the beginning. He barely changed. He gave me hope. He gave me a desire for him to be better. He made me think he was better. He made me enjoy his character, and I loved him. And then
talking?
He betrayed
I'm sorry,
me.
One sentence? Yeah, okay.
That was one sentence.
He was an addict. There you go. Just, could have said that.
Addicted to his sister's business.
She's cute. I get it.
Not with that haircut she's got going on. That's
I
rough.
Dug that wig.
Still would.
Sorry. You guys are like, Robin Aaron. I'm like, yeah, sir, she's still got that going on. I'll go with Euron because is there any other character that does not belong in this series? Like, everybody else is playing Game of Thrones and he's stuck in The Princess Bride.
He's such.
I could not stand him. Cannot stand him.
All right, I'm going controversial here. Arya.
Kiss my balls.
Kiss his balls.
What are you talking about? What are you? Not today, Brian. Not today.
I need an explanation of where your headspace is right now.
One sentence, because I can't believe it.
Look, she's had her moments. And I'm a fan.
All of them. She saved the world. The world. The whole
it's a
world.
Moment. It's still a moment. Right? She had her moments. But for like 3 years, she had the most boring storyline of everybody.
It turned out to be pretty awesome when she
I'm
saved
just
the world.
Around. I'm walking, I'm walking, I'm walking. I mean, it was like Lord of the Rings, but worse. And oh, let me do all this training. Sorry, her time up in Braavos was a waste of screen time.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure all that training saved the world. The whole planet. Or that particular
continent. It could have been cut down and we could have shown something else.
I cannot
believe
you.
Okay, great. So I get to also piss everyone off by saying Tyrion.
No, I'm with you on Tyrion. No, I'm with you. Because he had like 4 years of nothing. Pointless and bad plans.
He also started off as a much stronger character.
Well, that's great for y'all, but let's hear John's reason why.
No, asshole. I was just going to let them give me my answer.
Yeah, that's thanks, like, John. Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate you being generous and letting them speak for you. Yeah. So, why don't we just let them finish for you? You go watch TV or something. Why even, you know?
You haven't been listening to the show lately, have you?
Go ahead.
What? I got nothing anymore. I mean, you all just said it.
No,
we
why?
Didn't say
why,
it?
Tyrion? Why Tyrion? Why Tyrion?
Well, Why Tyrion? Because he started off as such a strong and beloved character who, you know, because of his character flaw, which is that he always gave people that he loved the benefit of the doubt, he just made mistakes upon mistakes just for that one reason. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, no matter how much, how clever he was, he let his heart lead him to failure.
I'm going to come back to this. Okay, we're going to come back to this.
Oh, are we?
We are.
You know what? Don't threaten me with a good time.
Really think you're not getting the concept of this whole rapid fire thing.
No, there's a future question in the end.
So, all right. So what story thread or character that kind of left you wondering, you know, what happened the most?
This actually took me a hot minute because there was a couple of them that I thought
get
about.
Get to the answer.
Yeah.
Nymeria. There was nothing here. Last time was like season 7, wasn't it? And there was no touch point in this final season.
No, Nymeria.
Well, they wrapped it. It was basically her saying good, or her and Arya saying goodbye to her.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I would have liked for Nymeria to come back around.
Okay.
In the final season.
All right.
You mean in the middle of the battle, all of a sudden Nymeria shows up with a whole bunch of puppies and starts ripping up dead bodies?
Or she went on her
journey.
Who
let the dogs out?
Or if she would have gone on Arya's journey with her.
Dude, if Who Let the Dogs Out played in that battle, that would be amazing.
And then amazing. They all go, whoo, whoo, whoo.
Mine is Dario. Like, what the hell is he up to? He's just like running marine and just, you know, he's going to get a raven and he's going to be pissed.
What happened?
He's just sitting there. I hope everything's going okay with Danny right now. I wonder if she's thinking about me right now.
I wonder if she wishes she would have stayed here.
She don't write. She don't call. She don't send a raven. For me, it was that red priestess, that hot one that showed up for like whatever 10 minutes, and then I don't know, nothing ever happened again. I mean, I might have missed something, but I don't think we ever saw or heard about her again.
Just that one time. That's why in my fan fiction, she's right now resuscitating Danny. She's bringing her back to life.
That's a really cool idea. I liked it a lot when I heard it.
Writers don't like cool ideas. They just want to get to the end because they got Star Wars to write.
Mine is Bran. Is the wheel actually broken?
I like that.
Interesting.
I don't think it is. Do you think it is?
I like that fan fiction a little bit. A little more dangerous. I think it's broken.
You do?
But that's not fast answer. So
right.
All right. So what's your favorite fight or battle?
Well, these are two very different questions I want to add.
It's one answer.
I understand.
It can be a fight between one or two people, or, you know, a couple of people, or it could be a giant battle.
I'm aware that they're in the same question. I'm just saying I feel like they should be separate.
It doesn't feel like you are.
I think you want to rewrite it. I really think you just got a problem with authority here.
What if I create a petition to change this question?
It won't matter.
What if we just skip you and go to Aaron?
I'm going to say the Battle of Blackwater.
Okay.
Nice.
Mine's Oberyn versus the Mountain.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't remember ever being on the edge of my seat as much as I was then. And if the dumbass would have shut up, he would have won.
Oh, God, that is such a good choice.
It is.
Really, mine was as dark as it was, the Battle of Winterfell. And the whole, y'all talked about it earlier, the whole Dothraki scene, from a cinematic standpoint, was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, almost made the whole thing. You toss in the little quiet, you know, zombie Frogger scene that Arya was doing was pretty cool too. It was a good change of pace, you know, in the middle of this hour and a half battle.
If a car would have rolled through and just hit her, that would have been great.
but to see all those lights rushing towards that darkness and then just getting snuffed out and snuffed out and snuffed out, and then watching, just, you see movement in the darkness, but you don't really see it till the you know, the few stragglers are running back, and then, of course, the horde comes after them. But anyway, that was my favorite battle.
John. Brienne and the Hound.
Thank you.
Oh, good choice. Solid.
That's a great one, yeah.
That is a great choice. All righty. So this is the last one here. This is the game I was talking about earlier. We're going to play a little game. We're going to have a little draft. We're going to create teams. You're planning a takeover of the neighborhood homeowners association or apartment building, whichever you live in or prefer, which have you.
Mm-hmm.
So give me three characters to help you win the Game of Homes. And we're going to go snake draft. We'll just keep it with the same. Are y'all familiar with the snake draft style? One person picks.
Yep.
Next person picks. Then we start over.
And so. If somebody picks, whoever is picked can't be reused, right? The character can't be reused.
Correct. If I pick Arya, nobody else can pick Arya after that.
Well, you don't want her. She's got the least interesting character arc.
Right.
Ooh, shots fired. Ooh. Also, you can't have her because I'm picking her right now.
Oh, okay. Ooh. So your first pick is Arya?
Yep.
I guess we're starting. I'm going to go Night King. I'm taking the Night King.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I'm going to go with Varys.
Ooh. Interesting.
I need somebody who digs up a little information on people in the neighborhood and the other people fighting for power in the HOA.
I'm going the Mountain.
Mm. Ooh, John going with the intimidation strategy.
I go in heavy.
Back to you, Amanda.
Viserion.
Oh, the Ice Dragon.
Yep.
Which my guy controls. Excellent. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Drogon.
Dang, I didn't think about that. Okay, yeah. Maybe...
Guess what? I got two dragons! Suck up!
I had the Night King on my list. This didn't work out very well.
But I got two dragons, whether you know it or not.
Crap, I was going a whole different strategy, but I'm gonna have to mix it up now. I got to get something with some kind of power. Let's see here. You know what? I'll go with, who else is on my list? I'm going to go with Tyrion.
Mm-hmm. That's your power?
Nah, he's good at convincing other people to do stuff.
Okay.
So. The Hound.
Mm. Good. All right.
Wow. You're not going to get anything done because those two are going to be fighting the whole time. Right. They're not going to help.
It's going to be like a whirling dervish of death.
I like it.
Brienne?
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to take Bran.
Oh, because you want both the kings?
No, because he knows everything. So you want strategy, the guy that
God
knows everything.
Damn you.
I'm sorry.
You got two dragons. You got the Night King. You got the man who knows everything.
Wait, how did he get two dragons?
Because he got my dragon.
Because I got the Night King, and that controls her dragon.
And I forgot that he picked the Night King because I had the Night King stupidly after the series.
I mean, technically, you have a character that can kill the Night King, but I also got Drogon who can kill Arya. So, I mean, there's just...
Arya's taking these.
And I've got Bran. Who's going to know it's coming because he can see visions.
Get out of here. I hate you.
Brian?
Oh, wow. All right. Well, look, there's no way I'm going to be able to match the physical just fighting of Team Clegane over there. Or, you know, with all the dragons and Night King and everything. So I've got to go with ninja-like skills and political stuff. So I'm going to go with Cersei because nobody got shit done like Cersei gets shit done.
Well, until the end.
Except Littlefinger.
It took him 10 years, but you know what? She outlasted just about all of them.
That's good.
Jacqueline.
Right. Oh, Jacqueline. That's good. Mm. No one.
Hagar. Okay.
So let's go over my list. The Mountain, right. The Hound, and Jacqueline. I win. My HOA is going to be in pieces and tattered. And it's
Aaron has
me.
Two dragons. He has my dragon and his dragon.
Let's all recap our teams. And we're going to let the listeners vote on this. So you just go on the Facebook group, follow on Twitter. Or hit us up on email, whatever, feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. You tell us whose team wins.
Fight and defend me.
Recap the team real quick. Amanda, who's your team?
Arya, Viserion, and Brienne.
I've got Night King, Drogon, and Bran.
And Viserion.
Sure,
technically.
Technically. And a whole damn army of zombies.
Actually, no, it's whatever. He's not controlling anybody.
I get all of his attributes, you son of a bitch.
Nope. It's cheating.
No, it's not. I have all of his attributes. He actually works for him, and he's a slave for him. She picked him. It's her fault for picking the Ice Dragon.
No.
Yeah.
Brian overrules you.
It's his rules. Recap your team.
All right. So my team is Varys and Tyrion and Cersei.
Oh, they're so dead. They're like
so they are
dead. They're so dead.
Nah.
Two of them died because they couldn't get letters out in time.
So.
And alrighty. John? Oh, he already recapped.
So
this.
Yeah, John's okay. Got
it. Yeah, I already recapped.
So, all right.
All right, listeners, we want to know who you think won. So you let us know.
Sure, if you're wanting to destroy the neighborhood, pick any of the other three. If you want to rule it, you pick mine.
So yeah, I don't need my neighborhood to follow me. I just need them out of my way.
Nobody's going to bother my neighborhood because I got everybody.
I just need no neighbors. Mine will take out all the neighbors, and then I don't have a neighborhood to worry about.
I've had nothing to do but think these past few weeks about our bloody history, about the mistakes we've made. What unites people? Armies, gold, flags, stories. There's nothing in the world more powerful than a good story. Nothing can stop it. No enemy can defeat it. And who has a better story than Bran the Broken? The boy who fell from a high tower and lived. He knew he'd never walk again, so he learned to fly. He crossed beyond the wall, a crippled boy, and became the three-eyed raven. He is our memory, the keeper of all our stories. The wars, weddings, births, massacres, famines, our triumphs, our defeats, our past. Who better to lead us into the future?
Bran has no interest in ruling, and he can't father children.
Good. Sons of kings can be cruel and stupid, as you well know. His will never torment us. That is the wheel our queen wanted to break. From now on, rulers will not be born. They will be chosen. On this spot are the lords and ladies of Westeros to serve the realm. I know you don't want it. I know you don't care about power. But I ask you now, if we choose you, will you wear the crown? Will you lead the Seven Kingdoms to the best of your abilities from this day until your last day?
Why do you think I came all this way?
Getting to the end here. Can we just agree that no matter what your beef was with the show, how it ended, whatever, that pretty much they were just all rooted in the perception that D&D, the Benioff and Weiss, whatever you want to call them, they just didn't take enough time with this?
I can see that argument. For me, it was just enough to wet my whistle, to find a way to appreciate what was left of this great show, and to really find something that's great to share with people. So I can't really find a way to improve upon what they gave us, and that's okay.
I really enjoyed it, but yeah, an episode or two, flesh a couple things out. This is a grand slam as of right now. It's just
a slam.
Base is loaded.
I'm with Aaron.
Yeah, same here. It was, yeah, like I say, kind of use your baseball analogy, wasn't quite a grand slam, but hey, it was a solid double. Still scored a couple of runs. We're good. We're good. What was one of the crazier theories that you heard during this last season? Because they were all over the place. I mean, they were every episode. There was some kind of whatever. You know, there was all sorts of crazy things going on and speculations. What was some of the crazier ones that you guys heard about?
My favorite one, which would have been really cool if it happened, is that Bran drove Aerys crazy, built the wall, is the Night King, did this all through, like, time travel, using his capabilities, basically did everything that was important to get him where he wanted to be. Which he kind of, like, he did do that in a sense, but not time traveling. He just knew where people should have been at certain times for things to end up the way they did. And he was not the Night King.
That one always just bugged me. It's just so dumb. I did like the one. I did hear one where, how did it go? It was something along the lines of where he was trying, Bran is trying to reach, is going back in time to, like, you know, he's channeling back in time to kind of eavesdrop on the Mad King. And while he was trying to talk to him or something as he went back in time, because you know how he was kind of talking to people and Ned could hear him and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drove the king mad, is that Bran was trying to talk to him. It's similar, but he didn't do all the other Night King stuff.
Mm.
He's actually the one who caused the king to go mad to begin with. I just like that was a kind of a cool one. And then there's a bunch more dragons out there somewhere. That was a weird one.
Yeah, that was the one that I had heard too, and I actually liked that one a lot. If that were the case, it would have been a nice bit of character depth for Bran.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me it was the I really didn't like the idea of Bran being the Night King. I thought that was, first of all, we saw who the Night King was and how he was turned into the Night King. So I mean, I don't know how that theory came to be, but we saw the guy that was actually killed by the little Children of the Earth or whatever they're called. Mm. And
Children of the Forest.
Children of the Forest, and stabbed him and turned him into the Night King so that they could, you know, what have you. But
sounded like the idea was more like possession kind of thing. Like he was able to control the Night King, I think, from some of the theories that I had read about that. Or at least that was one of them.
Gotcha.
But you still don't like it, so.
Yeah, not really. Well, how did you guys envision the show being wrapped up?
I didn't really have a whole lot of like theories on it. I kind of thought Arya was going to die killing Cersei. That didn't happen. Basically everything I thought was going to happen didn't happen. Jon or Sansa would take the throne. They would institute democracy. They would vote on a ruler. So I did think they would vote on a ruler, but I didn't think it would be lords and ladies. I thought it would be everyone, kind of like what got laughed off. And I did think Dany was going to die the whole time. I really thought she was going to die. Although when I did the Game of Thrones thing we had, I don't think I read any of it. I just started picking people randomly because Amanda was reading back what my answers were, and I'm like, I didn't think any of those things. Why the hell did I pick them?
What about you?
I actually kind of thought that Jaime was going to be the one to go back and kill Cersei, especially looking back now after he found out that she banged somebody else. Like, I don't know. I kind of would have liked him to do that, to become, to me, that was the idea I had for his arc being fulfilled, was that he somehow changed. Like, he could still always love Cersei, but he would just become a better person for being away from her and spending time away from her, removed some of that toxicity inside of him, and that he would just go and take her out because he wouldn't want anybody else to end her life. He would want to be the one to do it. And that's what I was really hopeful for. But I did guess correctly on Arya killing the Night King. So that was fun. It was also turned out to be amazing.
So the most grounded idea that I had for how I wanted to see the series end was, especially after the episode 5, was I wanted to see Jon wrestle with the fact that he knows that, oh, that he has to get, you know, stop Dany. And he tries everything he can to stop her, but in the process, Grey Worm kills her. Arya witnesses this, and then by the end of the episode, we're watching Dany, you know, ascend to the throne, and she's standing over a balcony in King's Landing, just surveying the land. And just before everything fades to black, Grey Worm is over her shoulder and peels his face off, and it's Arya with that knife.
Oh!
That's how I would love to have seen that ending of the show.
That would have been dope.
Like that.
That is really cool. I just don't like the idea of Arya like killing all the big people.
Yeah, I get that. And honestly, after the end of episode 5, at that moment, I didn't want her to do any more revenge killing because she kind of learned what it cost, you know? So
there you go. For me, I kind of thought the White Walkers would have moved a little bit further south than Winterfell, and we would have lost a few more of the heroes. I thought that we would have had a few more emotional deaths, especially during the long night. It was, I just really, in the way that some of those scenes were going, you just knew that it might not even show their deaths. You just pretty much have to assume that they were dead. The way that some of the slow motion, you know, backs to the wall, they're just walls of of White Walkers coming at him and stuff. So I kind of thought we'd have a few more deaths. The White Walkers would have made it further south, maybe even into King's Landing, close to it. But, yeah, thought it'd been a little bit further than that.
They did play it pretty safe with character deaths this season. I mean, they really, really did. Like, they held everybody until, like, the last two episodes except for Jorah. I mean, everybody else, yeah, you know, was kind of, yeah.
All right, well, you're now in charge of production for a spinoff. Give me your elevator pitch.
My elevator pitch would be, it's 1,000 years in the past. It's dealing with the first men, the children of the forest. We got dragons and the very first Targaryens. It ends when we learn who becomes the Night King.
Hmm. I think that is what they're doing. Isn't that close to what they are doing?
I don't know.
That's why he wants to give this elevator pitch so he can get credit for it.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Story by John Davenport.
All right. Amanda is assuming as I read stuff. We all know what I don't.
This is true. Even though it's confirmed is not happening, I don't care. West of Westeros. That's the only one I want. Send Arya off on adventures and follow her. Like, seriously, I don't care about any of the other stuff because I feel like we've already gotten that show. I want to see her show now. And she was always my favorite character. So
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, we boost the ratings of HBO's sister channel, Cinemax, with a weekly erotic anthology series called The Podrick Diaries.
Oh, man. I was wrong. There is something else I want.
Nice.
All right. Well, who is the MVP of Game of Thrones and why?
I chose Tyrion, and I told you we were going to come back to this because there's a reason for this.
Oh, boy.
Yes, because Tyrion is the one who's had a hand in everything throughout the entire series. Aside from, like, Cersei, who's been involved with everything, Tyrion has been on both sides of the spectrum. He's always been the one to give, well, I shouldn't say always, he's always been the one to try to give sound counsel for a peaceful kingdom in a realm where few others were concerned with keeping the peace and the people prosperous. He ended the show with his power and means to see that peace and the people were taken care of, that he actually had that. And so even though he made better decisions as a council person or hand of the king in the beginning, and that faltered as the series went on, he was still the one who was always insistent on doing the right thing and managed to actually make it happen. He was the one who went to the wall when Robert wouldn't. He's seen much more than anybody else of the Seven Kingdoms and is still alive in the politics of freeing the cities, and probably the only person, one of the only people, aside from like Arya, in this ending who is where they should be.
I'm going to have to go with Sansa. She started off this whole series as a vapid, shallow girl who wanted nothing more than to be a pretty little girl and married to a king. And she ended up taking her life in her own hands and controlling her outcome and becoming a queen. What else is there to really say than she made some massive leaps into becoming a very capable and very scary person?
I'm going with somebody that didn't make it to the end. However, without this person, none of this would have ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Peter Baelish, Littlefinger.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his ambition, because of his all of his shenanigans, we got Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. So none of these events would have been put into place had he not started the basically had John Arryn killed, who was Catelyn's brother-in-law.
Little finger, more like little asshole.
Woohoo.
Mm. Way to go.
Yeah, ooh. So clever.
That really
you know
stung
what?
Him.
Laugh at my jokes, okay?
I will when they're jokes. So here, I'm so mean. All right, so Brian went with MVP in terms of like he started the Game of Thrones. I'm going to give you the actual MVP. Because without him, the end doesn't happen. We don't get through this series without this person. Even though this person did make it to the very end, this person is the reason we got to a very end. All right? Guess who protected Sansa? When possible, at the Red Keep. The Hound. Without Sansa, Ramsay still holds Winterfell, and Jon Snow dies in the Battle of the Bastards yet again. Guess who Jon Snow saved them from? Dany. Mm. Guess who protected Arya and even saved her from the Red Wedding and even a zombie attack on Winterfell? The Hound, with an assist from Beric, but mostly the Hound, kept her safe, kept her alive. Without Arya, the entire continent of Westeros is overrun by zombies. So who is the MVP of Game of Thrones? It is the Hound.
You can tell he wrote this out like he was prepared to give this speech.
Because I am right.
It is a good pick.
There's a pot in the kettle around here somewhere.
And also, Dracarys. I just want to say that once.
No, that's actually all of those are really good choices. So do you guys want to see the Game of Thrones world expanded or just kind of feel it's over and done and this is kind of enough? We just let it stay the way it is?
You know, there's a difference of opinions for me because I love the series. I love the fandom, or I have until this last season when it just got a little toxic. I'm concerned because I think it's gotten so popular. It's like Star Wars, where everybody's just going to find things to hate about it. So it definitely, to me, needs some time to breathe. It needs to, like a fine wine, and just let air out a little bit. I'll watch a prequel. I don't need one, but I would like something more. And I would love that Arya show that HBO refuses to do. So
screw them.
You know, whatever. I guess they don't want to give you what fans want ever, even on the show, after the show, any part of the show. They just don't get a fan.
I guess they don't want our money.
Yeah.
I mean, Maisie Williams does need a career after this.
She's the best actor on the show, man. And yeah, I say she's better than Dinklage. She's the best actor on the show.
Peter Dinklage.
He phoned it in so much. And then like the middle seasons, he phoned it in so much. So at least she was trying, even when she was in her boring adventures. So I don't need one. I will watch a prequel. I'm looking forward to a prequel. But man, I just want the fandom to calm down. So we need some breathing room. What about you guys?
I'm good. I'm done. If they surprise me with something later on down the road, that's fine, but I'm not looking for it.
I'll take more. Give me more. I don't like the initial idea of a prequel. I just kind of think, all right, we've got a little bit of information on the past. I'm fine with this spotty history, so to speak, that we pick up throughout the seasons. To me, this is one of those things that's kind of like Star Wars where there's this so many things you could do. There's just grab them. Don't keep latching on to the same characters. Do something that maybe takes place in a different region around the same time, or even shortly after, even shortly before. It doesn't really matter. But you could have comments, or you know, a maester gets a raven saying, "Hey, there's something going on at King's Landing," and it's a throw. You know, it's a throwback to something in one of the previous seasons. You could even do an animated, like an adult animated series. I think could be done fairly well. I mean, adult in the sense of.
Oh, I know what you mean, brother. I gotcha.
No, I told you that one's for the Cinemax. That other one.
Because HBO like stopped on the boobies there for the last season. They're like, oh, calm that down. We got stuff to blow up. We have time for all that nudity.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities here, but it's too big of a machine right now. I can't see them just completely doing a full stop on it. I agree. Whatever's done needs a little time to breathe, some decompression for the next couple of years. Then you throw out a little teaser, or say around year three. By year five, you release.
Oh, that's too long.
Something else.
Too long. Yeah, it's too long. But I do admire HBO because they waited and they weren't even going to shoot the pilot for this prequel series until this series aired, which I admire. They didn't have to do that. They could have Walking Dead-ed it.
I'm with Brian where I was not, well, I wasn't ready for this to end. I'm still not ready for this to be done, which is weird because it is. And I have a conclusion, but I just feel like there's still, I have a wrap up, but I feel like there's still so much more that I want from this world, from these characters. And now I feel like I'm on a whole different, we've set up for a whole different sort of show based in that world that I would like to still have part of. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I would love, 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 love to follow Arya on her adventures. It would be so much fun, especially if she like happened to run into Nymeria. That would be amazing. But
you're really obsessed with this dog.
That dog is what saved her and attacked Joffrey and set so much in motion and is underappreciated.
I didn't totally.
Oh no,
that's
you're right.
That's Nymeria, what got Nymeria Lady is killed.
The MVP of the show. You're absolutely right.
No.
Amanda, rewatch that scene at the end where Nymeria and her pack surround Arya, because that scene is about them saying goodbye to each other.
Yeah, it
that
is.
That was their wrap up.
I know that there is a wrap up. I'm just saying that wasn't sufficient.
Yeah,
for
but
me.
It was not a good enough wrap up for Amanda.
I don't want them separated. I want them together.
I want a buddy cop show with Nymeria. And
just be
Arya.
Happy that she's one of the two dire
living.
Wolves that live.
Yeah,
so. We can call it Lethal Weapon 2 because they're not going to do any more Lethal Weapons. So
no,
HBO
you
can now do Lethal Weapon.
You call it K-9. It's an adaptation of that Jim Belushi show. K-9 hashtag Westeros. I don't know.
It's a Turner and Hoochisms.
Westeros and Hooch.
Hmm.
Okay. I think it does it. I think it's time for the...
Yeah. Well, that did it. All right.
Let's get... Let's
all
get,
right. We just killed
get
it.
Get out of here.
All right. Well, on that note, we are going to close this up and send it to the Citadel for filing. So thank you, Aaron, John, and Amanda for helping out with this.
You are welcome.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome, Sir Brian of Williams.
Of House Williams.
Sorry, Sir Brian of House Williams.
There you go. There you go. So thank you to the listeners for listening, doing what you do. Appreciate the downloads and the feedback. Let us know what you like. Remember, you can find us at thehollywoodoutsider.com and wherever you do your podcasting at. And remember, spring is coming.
We did our summer movie awards. Isn't it summer is coming?
Shit. Spring is
what sprung. Comes after winter, damn it? What the fuck? You saw that shoot of grass coming through the snow and didn't say, hey, it's to put on your fucking bikini.